Alright, everyone, welcome to episode 31 of Scooter and the Big Man. What do we talk about? We talk about there's Met stuff, Met news. We talk about Loop. That was last week. We talk about Lindor, probably. We talk about Trevor Bauer, his beef with the Thor. We also talk about the Mariners guy. I think it was the Mariners. Said some bad stuff. Steve Cohen, and we do a draft of the best Mets moments throughout history, so stay tuned to stay no. So let's get it started.
Let's get it started.
All right, so welcome to episode 31 of Scooter and the Big Man. A little thing that's going to be different this episode right off the rip. Pat is here, but his microphone is not working. So this is going to be like a throwback episode where you only hear PJ and me talk. We are still going to be doing a draft at the end of the episode. Pat will still be involved. He's just kind of mailing in to us, and we're going to read off his answers, but we'll get to that kind of later on. As you did hear, though, Pat did our intro. So that's the only time you're going to hear his voice of the entire episode.
He's waving. He's saying hello to everyone. Hey, Pat.
Hello, Pat. Yeah, we definitely miss you dearly. Not. All right.
Got him.
So let's get into it. Mets signed Taiwan Walker, kind of rounding out their rotation to a two-year, $20 million deal, quote-unquote, two-year, $20 million deal. It is kind of a strange format. It is a two-year, $20 million with a player option for a third year. Third year is worth $6 million. So technically, it's kind of a three-year, $23 million contract. PJ, what are your thoughts on signing Taiwan Walker to the Mets rotation, number 99?
I love it. This was one of the moves that, you know, we said from the beginning of the offseason that we liked the Mets to make. And it took a while to get this done. I think the contract is very good. He's only 28. It's a possible three-year contract, so you're not committing anything major long-term. He was very solid last year and the 2 years prior, or 2019 and 18 didn't really pitch that much, but for most of his career, he's been very solid. This is another arm in the rotation that this is what they needed. This is the kind of the last move I think they needed to make this offseason, and they made it, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, I remember when Taiwan Walker was coming up with Seattle, a lot of people were kind of talking about this kind of phenom pitching prospect that they had coming up, and he never really turned into that. That being said, he eventually gets traded to Arizona, where Porter, our old GM, Jared Porter, was kind of a part of that front office and really liked him. So we did mention in the past how we thought the Mets would eventually be interested in Taiwan Walker because of the connection to Porter. Porter is no longer a part of the Mets organization. The interest obviously still there. They bring him in on this deal. He, like you just said, he's been pretty solid the last couple of years. He was really solid with Toronto in that short stint after he got traded up there. If you look at his career, he's kind of progressing up. Everything is getting better with Taiwan Walker. And like you said, under the age of 30, back end of your rotation, you're going to get some plus starts, I think, out of him. I think it's a no-brainer. I love the move.
Yeah. There's nothing really negative I could say about this. It's not like you're tied up in a lot of money either. Like it's a 2 year, $20 million, could be a 3 year, $23 million, depending on what he likes about the team if he picks up his player option. So yeah, this is a really good move. And like I said, this rounds out the rotation. This is the move we needed to make to kind of complete the offseason.
So you look at the starting rotation, and this is in no particular order. I'm not trying to do like a 1 through 5, what it's going to be. Obviously, we are going to have spring training. These guys are going to compete for spots. But just some of the names that we have so far. Obviously, we have the best pitcher in the world, voted the number three player in all of MLB, Jacob DeGrom. We got Marcus Stroman, Carlos Carrasco, David Peterson, Jordan Yamamoto. We have Joey Lucchesi. It's Lucchesi, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yeah.
Did a press conference. He says it's pronounced Lucchesi. I think all of us were saying Lucchesi or...
Lucchesi.
Lucchesi, yeah. Lucchesi. Shout out me for pronouncing a name right.
I'm going to keep saying Lucchesi. I don't care.
Then eventually we're going to get Noah Syndergaard. I also put out on Twitter that we do have Mike Montgomery as like extreme depth. I know he was kind of a reliever, but the man's made like 70 career starts. So in a pinch, you know, Mike Montgomery, Robert Kesselman, those are all names that you'll probably see as like, holy shit, I can't believe these guys have to make a start, but hopefully we never got to that level.
So I do want to bring up that because you put it out on Twitter and some people are like talking about Mike Montgomery, Jordan Yamamoto. Is like, oh, those aren't like depth pieces. Like, no, those are pretty solid. Those are your eighth and ninth options. That all you can really ask from those guys is some sort of MLB experience and any sort of like success at the major level. Both those guys have had it at some point. And Montgomery, it was more a few years back where he was a starter. Now he's more of a reliever, but still he has that experience. And Yamamoto was not good last year for the Marlins, but the year prior he was pretty solid, and he's still very young.
I really like Jordan Yamamoto.
He has so much energy.
I like his personality a lot. I think he's going to learn a lot being within this rotation and around these guys. I really do. I think he's going to turn into a nice piece. I think he's going to be like your long relief kind of guy in that bullpen. I think he gets a spot there. I mean, honestly, right now, if you ask me if I want Kesselman or him, I think I'd rather him. At least I know he's got better stuff than Kesselman has.
Oh, I would definitely take Yamamoto over Kesselman. So I'm very over Kesselman. I think I said that.
Yeah, no.
From last year.
I said that I hope he doesn't even make the rotation. Yeah. He had that one little like spurt in 2016 when him and Lugo came onto the scene. But after that, he's really done absolutely nothing over the last 4 years.
Yeah, he's nothing more than maybe a guy keeping the minors just because. But yeah, I agree with you. Yamamoto has, in his press conference, he was very like open. He was very cool, calm, collective, all these things. And like I said, he's only, I think, 23. Pat, can you check that for me?
Pat.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat.
But yeah, so the depth is there. The rotation you're going to have, obviously, DeGrom, Stroman, Carrasco are your three staples. And then when Syndergaard comes back and Walker, those are going to be your four staples. And when Syndergaard comes back, we'll figure that out. But that fifth spot is going to be a competition, probably between Lucchese, Peterson, probably Yamamoto too. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all going to fight for that fifth spot. I think it's going to wind up being more Lucchese and Peterson, but Yamamoto would probably be in the mix.
I mean, are you okay that if, I mean, once Noah comes back, you're not going to have a lefty in that rotation 1 through 5? Are you okay with that? I mean, yeah, I think that's overrated to begin with.
I agree.
A lot of people are like, oh, you got to have a lefty in there. No, you don't. Why do you need a lefty?
I want our five best pitchers in the rotation. I don't care what way they throw.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's something that's a little overhyped, is making sure you have a lefty in there. That being said, what would you do with David Peterson? If he's not in 1 through 5, you got to put him in AAA so he can make starts, right?
Yeah, no, you just start him in the minors. You get him all those starts. And like I said, guys are going to get hurt. He's going to get his chances to play this year, no matter what. So, you know, I loved Peterson last year. I thought he pitched well, but he didn't pitch like the style, like you have to have him in the rotation type thing. It's like, oh, we'll see. Let him develop a little more. No need to rush anything with David Peterson, because I do think he is a piece for the future. So just let him continue developing. And if he pitches well enough to be the five starter, so be it. Awesome. Good. He's shown that he can pitch at the MLB level and in some capacity. So whether it's Lucchese or Peterson, I'm cool with it. Just have Peterson not be like that long relief guy in the majors. I don't think that's going to help him. I think it'd be more beneficial to have him start in AAA.
You know,
if that's the case.
You think of the rotation last year, and there really was no commitment past like last year with that rotation. So you had like Porcello, Waka. Obviously, you had Steven Matz in there as well. But Stroman wasn't there. So we thought Stroman was going to free agency. You look at the rotation now, there's a lot of kind of long-term commitment, or starting to be long-term commitment, with DeGrom is here for this year and at least next year because he has an opt-out after 2022. Stroman's going to be a free agent after the year, but Carrasco's here for 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. Walker's going to be here for at least 2 seasons, maybe 3 seasons. Peterson is young. Yamamoto is young. They have under control. Noah's going to be under control for 2 more years. So, you know, a spot might not really be opening up in that full-time spot other than Stroman leaving. And we've already talked that we would want them to keep Stroman long-term. Let's say they lock up Syndergaard and Stroman. I don't think they're going to do both, but let's say they did. Mm-hmm. what do you do with David Peterson knowing that your kind of five is locked and set for at least 2 to 3 years?
At that point, you might look to trade him.
Like you said, obviously there's going to be injuries. You're going to get chances. He'll have opportunities to pitch, but he's not going to have opportunities to make 20 plus starts in the major league level if they lock up those pieces.
Yeah, it depends. Like they said, if I said the same thing about Mercurio, because like we have Lindor now and we hope to have him in the future. We'll get more of that in a little bit. But if there's not an immediate spot open, that's when like you're okay with trading some of these guys, because there is not a clear path to when they're going to come up here and play. So if the case is that we have DeGrom locked up for hopefully his entire career, which he said that he wants to be a Met for life. If we lock up Stroman long-term, if we lock up Syndergaard long-term, and then we have Walker for at least 2 years and Carrasco for at least 3 years, then you're going to have Peterson kind of wasting away in the minors a little bit without like a clear path to where you can maybe get something in return to help you win. Now that's the time you think about trading those types of prospects, but these are good problems to have. It's a very good problem to have too many pitchers.
Yeah. Especially talented ones.
Yes.
The Mets also made another move this week. This was kind of a weird move. They signed Kevin Pillar to a major league contract. This is kind of a weird move because they literally just signed Albert Amora maybe about 2 weeks ago. They're both right-handed outfielders. Amora is probably a better defensive outfielder than Pillar is. A lot of people get obsessed with what Pillar like did in Toronto when he had some like crazy-ass catches and home run robbery and laying out. If you look at all his defensive like stats, runs saved over the last couple of years, look at us using numbers. He's actually been kind of a crappy defensive outfielder over the last couple of years. He's been like league average defensively. He hasn't been crappy, league average.
I was going to say, Brian.
Yeah, I'm not going to disrespect completely, but he's not like, I don't know. I don't find him and Albert Amora to be completely different players where it's just a strange move. The only thing we could say with Amora is Amora has minor league options where they can send him to AAA, but Kevin Pillar is going to be on the opening day roster.
So I think we kind of differ here, because I think Pillar is an upgrade over what Almora was. It is weird that they signed both of them.
Yeah.
While Almora is a better defender currently, Pillar was a really good defender. I think he's just trending downwards more now to where like he's definitely not a bad defensive player. He's just not as good as he was earlier on in his career. But Kevin Pillar is a much better hitter than Albert Almora is. Kevin Pillar was in 2019, the last like full season, came in 22nd in the MVP votings. And hit 21 homers and had 88 RBIs and batted only 260, but still, like that's a great guy to have off the bench. And he brings a little bit of speed too, averaging like 14, 15, like mid-teens stolen bases every year. So I think this is a much better upgrade than Amora is as an overall player.
The Mets over the last like 5 years really haven't been a fast team. I still don't look at this team and think that, oh, we're fast. But they got guys like Pillar who can go and steal a bag. Now they got guys like Pillar who can go and steal a bag. I don't know about Amora. Can Amora steal? Can he grab a bag?
Let's look
it
up.
Can he swipe a plate? Pat, this is where you're supposed to tell us these things. Can Amora steal bases?
Albert Almora has 4 stolen bases in his 5-year career.
Okay, so no, he cannot. Just found that out. This is what I don't understand. When you're like a sub-average baseball player and like your niche is a defensive center fielder, you got to learn how to – you can't be a one-trick pony. This is like the same thing that we were always bitching about with Lagares. Like Lagares was a bullet in center field, chasing down everything, but he couldn't steal base. I don't understand. You have the speed. Learn to steal. You're not going to learn to hit all of a sudden. You might be able to learn how to steal.
That's why I said Alvar Mora is just Juan Lagares. Like at this point, 6.0 that we've had.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But I like this deal. Do you know what the contract was? I think it was like a 1 year, like $3 million, like nothing spectacular.
Yeah, it was between 1 and 3. It was either 1 and 3 or 1 and 5. I think it might have been 1 and 5.
I'm trying to look this up now. It was.
If only Pat could.
No, it was actually 2 years. 2 years, 6.5.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was only a 1 year deal. Well, even still, like that's a nothing contract.
No.
So I'm fine with it. I said at the time when they made that signing that I would be very, very cool with it if they also went out and got the starting pitcher and Taiwan Walker, and they did, so I'm very, very cool with this.
Are you, that's it, right? Well, like, we're done?
I think we're done. And I mean, I'll just touch on it now. Like, the other reliever, like, Trevor Rosenthal went to the A's for, well, 1 year, like, $11 million. Another quick side note that we've mentioned before, that just because the Mets offer some guy more money doesn't mean that they have to sign here. I think it was Rosenthal's going to get more closing opportunities in Oakland than he would with the Mets. So that's a partial reason why I signed, kind of like Brad Hand. But regardless, I don't think they're going to do anything to the bullpen, and I don't think they really need to. I don't know if that's a hot take. Like, they don't necessarily 100% are desperate for a relief arm, because I think they have some guys in the organization already who can fill in those spots. Like, they have Drew Smith, who wasn't that stellar last year, but he was also coming off a major injury. And what we've seen prior, he has good stuff. Everyone was raving about Sam McWilliams when we signed him, like how his entire motion, everything that he's been working on the minors was so incredible, and everyone wanted him. We have him. Like, we have some guys with upside. Why not use him? Like, we don't have to go out and get another relief pitcher. I know it might be weird to say because Lugo just went down, but one of those guys could step in and surprise you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would have liked them to have done what the Nationals just did and grab Jeremy Jeffries on a minor league deal. There's some guys out there still that if they brought in on minor league deals, like, just to see what they have left in the tank, I'd be all in on that. But very similar to what you said, like, I'm content with the bullpen. With the addition of Walker, I'm content with our starting pitching depth and just the starting rotation. I like that we got two defensive outfielders or two right-handed hitting outfielders now. You know, obviously, I think they're done with exploring the third base upgrades. I think what they're going to do with third base is going to be like a kind of wait and see kind of thing, that if they get to the trade deadline and they're like, all right, it's been 3 or 4 months of JD Davis not working out defensively at third, maybe he's like hitting like 240, 250 instead of like 280. Mm-hmm. You know, then I think they start to consider making a move for a third baseman and maybe another reliever at the deadline. But I think they're done. And I love the offseason. This is the best Mets offseason that we've probably maybe ever had as fans, you and I in our era. I can't think of a single offseason where they've had that competes to what the level of talent they've brought in.
The only other offseason I could probably think of is when they brought in Beltran.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no, this is clearly a top two offseason that we have seen in our lifetime. But yeah, I'm very happy with the roster as it stands. I like all the depth moves they made. I like all the major league moves that they made. I don't want to keep harping on, don't get mad at these guys that we didn't sign the top major free agents. We got Francisco. We've beat that statement to death. This is a good offseason. If you're upset that they didn't get those guys, that's fine. You can be. But if you say it's a bad offseason, I think you're wrong.
Yeah, if this is anything
under a B-plus offseason, I think you're wrong.
This is a fantastic offseason. This team is significantly improved in every area that they said they had to get improved at, with the exception of third base. But I don't think third base was as glaring a need as some of the others were. So I mean, right now, they're a playoff team.
Yes.
They are a playoff team on paper. Now, let me ask you this. We haven't really talked on this. I think we're kind of in agreement. If they miss the playoffs and stay healthy, Rojas is probably going to get fired.
Yeah. With this roster, unless there's major injuries, like unless DeGrom's out for the season and Lindor and Conforto and Alonso, like those guys like miss a significant amount of time, then if you miss the playoffs, yeah, this would be a major disappointment.
Yeah.
Especially with, are they doing expanded playoffs this year? Are they doing 12 teams?
Nope. Normal playoff scenario.
So 10 teams. Okay. Even still, you have five opportunities to make the team. You're definitely a top five NL team in the league.
So oh yeah.
You have to make the playoffs.
They're probably a top 3 or 4 NL team in the entire National League. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, you do Dodgers, Padres, no one in the NL Central is better than the Mets.
I would argue Braves, the other team would be the Braves.
Braves, Mets. Those are your top four. So regardless of which, there's two wild card teams. So you should
make one.
You got to make one, or you got to win this division. If everyone's healthy, there's no reason for this team not to.
Yes, completely agree. We'll later on in a later on episode, we'll break down kind of what we think the NL East is going to be like.
Yeah. I mean, if they, all right, just real quick question. If they make it to the NLDS and lose in the NLDS, is that a failure? Or are we're not that level, right? We're not, like, the Mets don't go to the playoffs yet. I know, like, we're under a new ownership and, like, we're looking at everything bright-eyed, bushy tails, rose-colored glasses. We're all excited. But, like, they made the playoffs. Let's say they win the division and lose in the first round.
I'm not going to say it's a failure, but let's say they lose the NLDS, like, 3-1. That one was, like, and like it wasn't that looking that impressive. I'd be a little disappointed.
Okay.
I think I said when we talked about our expectations for this year when after the Cohen press conference, I think I said I'm expecting NLCS. That was also before all these moves were made and the Padres were.
You're greedy.
Made all these moves. How am I greedy? NLCS.
You're greedy. We're okay. Listen, I am so optimistic and excited about this season. Like I really am, and I love everything. But like for me as a Met fan to openly say I expect them to be in the NLCS a year after not making the playoffs, even when there was expanded playoffs, I feel like that's really greedy.
Brian, I don't want to hear any of your, these are my expectations. You said on these very airwaves, you'd be happy with just winning the offseason.
And we did.
So what? There you go. Those are your expectations. You, I would say you're not greedy enough.
What?
How do you like that?
I mean, just to get it out there, just to feel good about something. No other team had a better offseason than the Mets, right?
You could say maybe the Padres.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Or you could say, or if you want to talk about adding an okay arm with maybe a 4 ERA, the Dodgers.
Yeah, but that's like one move. I mean, I know they brought Justin Turner too.
I was just trying to transition to our next topic.
All right, we could do that. But the Mets won the offseason. So you want to talk about a guy with a 4 ERA, career ERA that pitches in LA?
Yes, I would like to talk about Julio Teheran. I mean, Trevor Bauer.
So Noah Syndergaard and Trevor Bauer get into some Twitter beef. And, you know, hand up for Syndergaard. He did start this. Absolutely. But he dominated Bauer the entire time. And that's not me trying to be biased. That's the truth. Noah Syndergaard is leading the MLB in wins already. He's up 3-0 on everyone else.
It was a hilarious kind of exchange. Just like I said, Noah started it. We're not gonna pretend like he didn't. He quote tweeted the Mets tweeted just spring training photos of Noah and I forget who else was in the picture with him.
Gesellman.
It was Gesellman, okay. Just like laughing, having a good time, and Syndergaard quote tweets and said, and then he said, "I'm gonna sign with another team and but donate to your charities." A clear shot at Bauer's just unnecessarily long apology tweet thread that he sent out. About him trolling the Mets. And then, of course, because Bauer is very thin-skinned and can't let anyone talk shit about him, he responded. I don't remember exactly what he said. It was something to the degree of, I don't know, what exactly did he even say? I don't even remember what he said.
So you want me just to do, you want the whole debate? You want the whole thing?
Yeah, it's not that long.
This is how it starts. Mets tweeted something that said, "Nothing but smiles for spring training." And it's Syndergaard laughing. Syndergaard quote tweets it and he says, and then he said, "I'm sorry I chose another team, but I'll donate to your charities." Trevor Bauer then replies to it and it's all a bunch of pictures of Noah Syndergaard responding to fans on Instagram. Just like a bunch of negative things that Noah has said replying to fans. That being said, if you're new to any of the things that Syndergaard does on social media, this is not old. Like no. Syndergaard has always dunked on fans. In kind of like a joking way.
He's still doing it today.
And he's still doing it today. Like he had one from a couple of years ago being like, "Why don't you just worry about your 9-to-5 job and I'll worry about like what I do every day." Like he's always been kind of snippy. Just so we're fully transparent here. I'll read some of the ones with Syndergaard. Somebody like sent him something saying, "You posted a similar shirtless video last year and your body broke down. They said, stop the bullshit." And Syndergaard's like, "Yes, because throwing shirtless is detrimental to my health. It's humid in Florida. I'm chilling, you dumbass." And then one of them was like, "Put a shirt on, you tool bag. Get through the lineup 2 times consistently and play a complete season. And then once again, put your shirt on, tool bag." And someone says, "Show this." Syndergaard goes, "Show this to your wife. Guarantee she wouldn't want me to put a shirt on. You might actually get laid because she's thinking of me." So Yeah. So, funny. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's crude and he's snippy with the fans too, but I think it's all in good fun. I don't think he's actually like a hateful person. I think he's just being funny on social media. Mm-hmm. So Trevor Bauer kind of sends all those screenshots to him and he says, Noah Syndergaard, try to treat the fans better. They're what makes our game go. No place for personal insults, especially about someone else's wife. Syndergaard just wrote back to him, like, keep digging.
With the gif of someone digging a hole.
Correct. Yep. Can't forget that. And Trevor Bauer just wrote back, see you at the bottom.
And then you also forget, Noah quote tweeted that and said, you bring your mixtape and your drone and I'll see you there. Referring to Trevor Bauer's album and the time that he cut his hand on a drone in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Syndergaard is, as someone updated the Wikipedia page of Noah Syndergaard, or was it Trevor Bauer being like, oh, Trevor Bauer's father, Noah Syndergaard, because he absolutely dominated him in this exchange.
Also, just on this, while we're on it, Stroman has kind of been doing some stuff with Bauer too over the last couple days. Kind of quote tweeting some like racist remarks that Bauer has done. Stroman was just like sending like the eyeball emojis. Mm-hmm. Bauer like quote tweeted that, being like, okay, like I know you don't like me, like you could just say it, like we're both men here, but like Stroman didn't really take the bait and respond at him yet. But there's definitely something brewing there where Stroman and Bauer definitely do not like each other.
No, not
you gotta kind of have, you wonder if that plays a factor in all this, like him choosing teams. I'm sure it has to come into play a little bit, but at the end of the day, I'm happy Trevor Bauer is not a New York Met. And I know you could find clips of me like flipping out about Bauer. And I guess that
clips.
And we've posted them and I've been very adamant about it. But in hindsight, looking back at everything right now, this is going to play out so much better for the Mets. And Bauer is going to become like a Chase Utley-like figure to this organization.
Yeah. No, like I said, Bauer would have, like, in terms of just the baseball, if we're talking just on the field, Bauer would have helped the Mets immensely. You've said this before, but off field, guys just obnoxious and just a headache that I'm glad we don't have to really deal with.
Do you agree, though, that he's going to become like a Chase Utley-like figure to this fan base?
Just that we hate the shit out of him and that he plays for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
I could see that. Like I think the worst thing that could have happened to Trevor Bauer is that the MLB is not having the DH this year, because I think when the Mets play the Dodgers and if he's pitching, he's going to get thrown at.
Yeah.
Especially if Syndergaard and Stroman are pitching against him.
I don't think Noah would throw at him.
Noah is the one I think would definitely throw at him. Noah's most famous quote is, you can meet me 60 feet, 6 inches away.
I know, but like he's already gotten thrown out of a game for throwing behind a guy. I don't think Noah would do it anymore.
I don't know. I disagree. I think Noah would do it more than Stroman.
I think if the Mets were like up like 5-0 in the third, and for some reason Bauer still taking like his like second at bat or first at bat that game, maybe. But it would have to be a really unique situation.
It does make it different that it's a pitcher and not a hitter, because like I can easily get this guy out type of thing. But I don't know. I think they play each other in Citi Field in August. Those games are going to be must watch.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Not even just for the fact that it's maybe the two best teams in the NL going up against each other, but for that reason too. It's going to be electric and must watch. And I hope that they can have like a good amount of fans there for that game.
I know not a lot of like, not all of our listeners use Twitter or follow it like as immensely as you could tell, like PJ and I do. But there was a really funny interaction too with this guy named Richard Staff.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Staff and Noah Syndergaard have this like running thing going for like the last 2 years, where Richard Staff basically will ask Noah if his wife is ever going to come back. I guess she left him or something like that. And it is a joke, but like he always asks Noah, he's like, is my wife coming back? And Noah always tells him no, or like she's going to leave, or like he's like, describe if my wife is coming back using one emoji. And like Noah just sent him like a red X one time. So Richard Staff responds to like the keep digging tweet, and he's like, this is good enough and I'll forget about the time. This is good enough that I'll forget about all the times you said my wife isn't coming back. And Noah just writes back like, she's not.
So that's funny. That's just, especially if like both parties are in on it, that's just objectively funny.
Oh, Bauer also responded to Syndergaard saying, you bring your drone and mixtape and it's a deal. And Bauer wrote back, you've got yourself a date. And Richard Staff replied to that one saying, but he isn't even your agent, implying that Trevor Bauer and Rachel Luba are dating. And Noah Syndergaard responded to that one saying, well played, but she's still not coming back. I don't understand how you just don't like Noah Syndergaard on Twitter.
I can get if, like, if you don't, you think it's overbearing, like he does it too much. I can understand that. But like I said, if both parties are look like it's like a no harm thing and he's just like interacting like that, like that's clearly an inside joke that is funny to all parties. But if you think it's like, if it's too much at times, like I can honestly understand that, but I don't think he's done anything like objectively bad on Twitter.
Let me ask you this. With Noah Syndergaard, obviously, like he's been out for over a year. He didn't pitch at all last year. Mm-hmm. Do you think Mets fans forget how good Noah is?
I think they forget how good he can be at when he's on his game. Because Noah's had times where he hasn't looked like what we know Noah Syndergaard can pitch like. Like he's had years where, like, I'm pulling up his stats now. Like his last full season, he had a 4.28 ERA. Like that's not like the Noah Syndergaard we have. Like he had 200 strikeouts, but even the year prior, 3.3 ERA, 2.6 in 2016, his only All-Star appearance. Like we know he's better than he has been in the past. So, do we forget how good he is? I think it's more we forget how good he was and can be when he's at the top of his game. So you just hope he can find that entire form back.
So let's transition that into the pitchers and catchers and position players have all reported to Port St. Lucie. Pitchers and catchers were about 4 or 5 days ago. All the position players got there today. Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, they got there a day early. So a couple guys did come in throughout the week. Brandon Nimmo has been there like the entire time that the catchers got there. So there are some guys who always come a little bit early, which is nice to always see. It's nice to see Lindor being there even just a day early. So Lindor does his first press conference today. We are recording this on Monday. So just earlier this morning, PJ, we listened to Francisco Lindor talking about his first couple of days in Mets camp. Obviously, the extension was a major topic. What do you think happens with this whole extension talk? I got some takes, but I want to hear yours.
I mean, he didn't say anything in this press conference that I didn't really kind of expect. It was, he said he didn't want the extension to be a distraction on the beginning of the season. He said, that's not fair to, my other players or my teammates, the team itself and the fans, if I have my head in two different directions. He said he's open to signing an extension, but he said, which I don't think there's anything wrong with him saying, I just got here. Like I still want to feel things out. I'm not going to sign like a 10-year extension on like just off the bat. Like I want to feel out, but he said they're in mutual, they have mutual understanding. I don't know the exact terminology that was used.
Mutual interest. He said
mutual interest. That's what it was. Mutual interest on an extension. So I have full confidence that they're going to get a deal done, hopefully by the start of the season, and we don't have to wait all season. But I think regardless, I think we're going to get a deal done.
Yeah. So here's kind of where I am on this. If the Mets don't get this deal done by opening day, I am extremely, extremely terrified that he's just going to test free agency. That doesn't mean he's not going to come back to the Mets if he really liked his time here, but I just don't like the option of him being out there to the open market and anyone can offer him money. He has said multiple times, I don't want to talk about this once opening day starts. He has said it from his first introductory press conference to today. He's been consistent with that. So if the Mets dilly-dally and don't get this done, I'm not confident they're going to get him to stay with the organization after the season after.
See, I am confident that even if I, like, will I be a little bit more nervous? Obviously, of course, because I just want to get it done. I want to know that we have this done. But if you look at like some of the other shortstops that are on the market, it's like Correa, I think Corey Seager, Javi Baez. Like there are a lot of guys in that upper echelon of the position that, if Lindor goes to test the market, he might not get exactly what he wants. Because there are so many other options out there. Now, Lindor is better than those guys, I believe. But still, there's a lot of good options at shortstop. So it could be in his best interest to just try and hash out a major extension. Like we're bringing stuff now, the Tatis extension, 14-360. I don't know if he'll get that on the open market just for the sheer amount of other guys that are going to be available. And I think if he wants to make that huge, huge money offseason, it's going to be signing an extension with the Mets and before opening day.
For shits and giggles, would you give him that same exact contract that Tatis just signed?
Maybe cut down the years because Lindor's a little older.
No, I know that, but that's why I'm asking you that. So you're getting him cheaper per year, but you're signing up for 14 years.
Well, the thing with Tatis's contract, it's more backloaded than frontloaded. So you're paying him more money when he's older.
All right. So let's just do you. It's $24 million every 24 single over. Year.
Yeah.
But for 14 years?
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I probably would, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I was like, man, because like realistically, I'm thinking this deal is going to be 10 years, $300 million. Maybe more, like slightly more, maybe like 1 or 2 years more. But I think it's going to be the Manny Machado contract.
I think that for a guy like Lindor, I don't think you should harp on like the major specifics of like if it's like you think it's too much money. Like you just have to lock that guy up. And I get you want to look to the future. Don't want to hamper your salary cap per year. But that's a franchise cornerstone that you just be like, hey, what do you want? We will do it for you. And if that's like a reckless type of spending, that's just what you have to do. You can't do that. You can't do that with like right now. I'll use like Syndergaard. Like I like Syndergaard, but I wouldn't be like blank check to Syndergaard right now, especially coming off of an injury. I would be blank check to Lindor and DeGrom when his contract is up. Like those are cornerstone guys that it's like whatever you want, I will give it to you.
How would you feel if you found out that the Mets offered him 12 years, $360 million, and he still went out to test free agency and picked another team? How would you feel with the Mets front office?
I mean, at that point, what more can you do? Like, if he's like, oh, I wanted, if he's like, I want two more years, even still, like 12 years, 360, like that's similar contract. Like, I don't know what else you can do. It's the same thing with everything else. Like, you can only do so much on your end. They get to decide if they want to sign or not. You could throw all the money, like if the Mets are a good team and they give them all the money, that's all the Mets can really do.
I just don't want to hear, like, we get to April 1st opening day, and it's like, yeah, the Mets never really even made like an official offer. Like, we had a lot of conversations, but they never put a contract in front of them. If I hear that, I'm going to be pissed off.
No, I agree with that. If they didn't really give him anything, then I'll be upset with the front office.
Like, even if I just heard like, hey, by opening day, Mets offer 10 years, 300. And you know what? Lindor's not really interested in that number. We're going to play the season. I'll be like, all right, at least we were like, okay, listen, here's our first thing on it. Because you know what? I know he says he doesn't want to talk midseason, but let's say in the middle of the season, Lindor gets hurt. Let's say he's going to miss like a substantial amount of time and it's going to hurt what he's going to do on the open market. He might go back to Sandy Alderson and be like, so 10 years, 300? You know what I mean? So I know players are saying they don't want to have these conversations, but like if he knows that he has guaranteed $300 million just sitting there, you know, I think he does something like that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on basically everything you said. Would you feel the same way with Conforto too? Because we've been talking about that extension since last year too.
Conforto's we've went all over the place on though. So like let's just touch on it real quick. What do you think Conforto's gonna get? Because I think originally I was saying similar money to like a David Wright. I think I was saying like 5 years, 150 for Conforto.
5-150 sounds about right. I don't know. I think that's kind of what I would think. Anywhere between like 130 to like 150. I mean, you always have to factor in Boris being his agent, that it might be a little bit more than you're expecting him to get or really want to give him. So, you know, I think that's about the range I would expect. Maybe like a 6 or 7, maybe up the years to kind of mitigate the annual value per year. But I think that range is pretty good.
Let me ask you this. If you could only extend one, who would you extend?
Oh, boy.
You giving up on homegrown superstar outfielder Michael Conforto, World Series hero?
I think I'd probably go if gun to my head, I'd probably have to go with Lindor just because I think he's a better player and at a more premium position.
Would we have to change the name of the show?
I wouldn't have to change my name at all.
God, we're gonna have to be Lindor and the Big Man.
Yeah, you could be Lindor.
I'll dye my hair blue.
Frankie and the Big Man.
I'll tell you what, right now. Mets signed Lindor before opening day to like a massive extension. I'll dye my hair blue for opening day.
Pat, clip that.
Not like dye, but Pat, like
clip that.
Spray. I'll spray it solid blue for opening day.
Brian said he will dye his hair. He used the words dye his hair. So I'm gonna hold you to that. Anything else on
No, I just want to touch real quick on something that a man in the Mariners, Kevin Mather, their team president, some of the comments that he was making over the last couple days. I don't know if the clip was recently, but it dropped recently. Basically how he was saying how he was messing with players' service time. He was saying a couple racist remarks about some of his pitchers who couldn't speak English, saying that he had to pay for translators. What else did this guy say, PJ? He said a couple things.
He said he talked some stuff on our old boy, Jared Kelenic, saying that he offered him a six-year contract, kind of to what the Phillies did with Scott Kingery, like a six-year, like $30 million contract. And basically, he was like, no, I'm going to bet on myself that I'm going to be really fucking good and have a better contract than that when I can.
And then he basically said, okay, well, if he's going to do that, I'm not going to start his service time on opening day.
Manipulating the service time, yeah.
So
and then the other day, so the Mariners, like, if you don't know, the Mariners have two of the top outfield prospects in the league. They have like two top five prospects who are outfielders, Kelenic, and his name is slipping. I think it's like Jeffrey Rodriguez or something like that.
Pat.
I don't know.
No, neither do I.
They have two of the top outfielders, and he was kind of saying like, Rodriguez, or the, I'm just gonna say the other outfielder because I don't want to say the wrong name. The other outfielder in their system, thinks he's going to be up in 2021. No, he's looking more like 2022, 2023, saying that he's not as good. And he, what's funny is he also put up a picture, a meme, the Jordan meme of, I took that personally with his face on it. Just, that's all he tweeted out, which is kind of funny.
So I love that he's already pissing these guys off before they're even up in the system, like up in the major leagues. So Jared, personal thing, like if they're upsetting you out in Seattle,
just come back,
just make your way on home. We'll figure this whole thing out. You know, just don't sign anything that they put in front of you. We'll get through a couple of years of you being out in Seattle, and then you come back when you're already playing at like Mike Trout level, and that'll be fine. Or another idea, they ship us Kelenic and Kyle Seager, and we'll give them like Brandon Nimmo and just Brandon Nimmo. I'm sure that'll work.
I think a realistic trade. And some, tell me if you think this is a, tell me you think this is a weird trade that I don't know if anyone would ever do this trade. They give us Kelenic, maybe another pitching prospect. First one comes by Justin Dunn, maybe.
I like him.
And like two other veterans, you know, just, you know, let them shed some salary, and you know, we get rid of a major contract that's on our books. Who's it got? Robinson Cano, I think. And you know, we'll give them a guy who has very good relief pitcher stuff in Edwin Diaz. I think that's a good trade. I don't know if anyone would actually do that trade, but you know, I think I would do that.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know.
Fuck you, Brody.
Brody sucks.
PJ, we did a giveaway.
We did do a giveaway.
So before we get into it, what did we do a giveaway for? Well, we are in the middle of selling merchandise. We put out some Scooter and the Big Man t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts. Some pretty cool stuff. If you don't know it, check out our Twitter. It is out on our Twitter. You can check out the shop. But our first 2 weeks. So the way that this website works is you kind of get like batches. So your batch lasts for 2 weeks. So everyone can buy in on that first batch and then they all get shipped out on the same day. So like if you buy a shirt day one of the batch, you have to wait the whole 14 days of that campaign being up and then it ships. So it kind of sucks. If you buy it day one, you have to wait like 3 weeks for your shirt. But if you buy it on the last day of the batch, which is right now, you only have to wait like 4 or 5 days for your shirt. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just mentioning how that process works. That being said,
I've had a lot of people ask me when am I shirt getting here? I tried to explain that to them. That's like, it's a weird distribution, but you know, it's an easier way for us to kind of sell our merch and put our stuff out there without having to kind of like physically make it ourselves. So it works.
So what we're doing though is the profit that we're getting off of that first batch, we are donating all of that to Pete Alonso's charity, Homers for Heroes. Right now, we're probably about like a $200 donation, which is pretty nice. So we're going to be doing that donation in the middle of the week. Once we get the profits in from our PayPal account, we're going to be putting them into that That being said, we wanted to do something nice for our listeners as well. We wanted to do a giveaway. So we are giving away a t-shirt based off of who retweeted it. And we kind of did it as random. And the winner of the giveaway, Pat, can you put a drum roll into this part? I'm sure there's a drum roll playing right now underneath us right now, PJ. The winner is Luke's at Luke's Pod. He is the host of the Orange and Blue
podcast.
Yeah, the Orange and Blue podcast.
Yep.
So shout out at Luke's Pod.
Yeah. And congratulations. Thank you for being a very loyal listener. Thank you to everyone else who bought shirts and one supported Homers for Heroes and two supported us by buying our merch. So we really appreciate that. And keep buying. I mean, you're not going to be able. This is going to go out the next day, but keep buying our stuff. Yeah. You got anything else?
No, Pat could cut out that awkward pause that we just had.
Very awkward.
Yep. Great. So we had a draft this week, PJ. What's our draft?
Our draft is going to be the top five favorite Mets moments of all time. And the way I'll right off the bat, I'll say I made my list based off of moments that I saw personally. So it's not going to be like I mentioned this off air. I was like I was thinking about putting some 86 stuff, but I wasn't alive to see that live. So I kept it to on-field stuff that I saw. That's how I made my list.
Okay. I don't know what our draft order is, to be completely honest with you. So why don't you go first? I'll go second, and Pat will go third.
Okay. Yeah, we have Pat who submitted his answers. Very, very. I don't know what they are. I'm very curious to see what Pat sent in. Brian just showing me a picture of Matt Harvey in his Orioles jersey.
We're number 32. I'm going to buy that jersey. Once he makes the roster.
Are you going to replace that jersey with the Harvey one you have right behind you now?
No, never.
Bad fan.
All right, PJ, what's your number one moment?
I think my number one moment is...
I wasn't expecting
to go first.
This is in no particular order, right?
You're right. Yeah, this really
isn't. These are just your top five favorite moments in no particular order. So you can pick any one of these moments. It's not like your number one.
All right. I'm going to go with the Bartolo homer. Yeah. It's just like it's maybe my most watched moment of the past, like 5 years or so. Like it's just so fun to watch. And the only real argument to the NL should not have a DH anymore is we wouldn't have got that moment. But that's just my most rewatched moment. I feel like that should be my number one, if I'm being true to myself.
Okay. I'm going to go the Wilmer Flores walk-off against the Nationals after the day where he got quote-unquote traded and he grabbed his jersey, crying, kind of going home plate, like grabbing onto the Mets thing. That is just like an all-time fucking awesome moment.
I'm getting chills right now thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a really special moment.
Pat's first pick.
Pat, are you gonna type it? Hold on, we're waiting for confirmation.
Pat, okay. just type out all your picks so we don't have to keep waiting for your picks.
All right. Pat's first one is Luis Castillo dropping the ball at Yankee Stadium let the Yankees win.
I mean, that's not a top moment, Pat. What are you doing?
I feel like Pat's gonna All right.
I'm not positive where Pat's going, but I think I know where he's going
with his draft. Pat, what's your second one? Oh, wait. He already typed them all. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's going this route. Yeah. His second one is Lucas Duda's throw home in the World Series game 5.
And Pat, no need to be a dick here.
All right. So that's just uncalled for. all right. So it's me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. This was kind of a cool moment I saw, and this might go against it a little bit, but when I was a kid, I went to a Mets game at Shea Stadium where Mike Piazza was on the Padres, and he hit two home runs against the Mets at Shea. And him hitting a home run in a Padres uniform against the Mets was such a weird, cool moment where the whole stadium was still like going crazy for him. So I'm going to put that in there because that was a really special thing from my childhood.
All right, it's a personal moment. I get that. Yeah. A little weird that your number two moment is something that negatively affected the Mets.
They're in no particular order.
That's fair. Fine.
Okay. I respect Mike. This is episode 31. So, you know, shout out to
Mike Gotts episode.
Shout out to the 31.
Yeah. My number two is, I said Bartolo moment is maybe the most watched Mets moment. I think the most, the funniest Mets moment of the last couple years is Terry Collins' ass in the jackpot. And I said these are all on-field things that technically happened on the field, just wasn't an actual moment. That shit is so fucking funny. I laugh every single time. You got to give us a chance. Terry, our ass in the jackpot now. It's so fucking funny. I watched that so many times.
All right, you go back to back.
I know. Do you have anything on that?
No, I like that. That's a good pick.
Thanks, man.
That's a really good pick.
I appreciate that. My number three is going to be David Wright's World Series homer. That was just like, David Wright is the Mets of our generation. He's probably my favorite Met of all time. Just to see him get that World Series moment, especially like all the shit that he, like the injuries he went through, for him to be able to come back and get that home run in the World Series, that was just such a cool moment.
I agree. It's good. You have a really good list so far.
Thank you.
You're going to win again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really that surprising. I am going to go with Pete Alonso breaking Aaron Judge's rookie home run record. Yeah, got to honor the big man still. That was such a cool moment. It's cool to have a Met who led the league in homers and then also set a record for most home runs as a rookie, especially when you beat a Yankee player. I know we don't talk about the Yankees, but to take that away from the golden boy Aaron Judge, that felt pretty good.
Yeah, I like that pick. So, I had that on my list, though.
All right, Pat. Let's see what you got. Pat's number three pick is anytime they wore the Mercury Mets jerseys.
I didn't know Pat knew about the Mercury Mets jerseys.
Honestly, I'm not even mad. That's kind of impressive. And number four, Kevin Pulwecki dildo. Oh, okay. He's referencing the photo of the big black dildo in the Mets locker room from a couple years ago that was given out to the players. So
that's crude, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you. Next one for me. Oh man, I was at this game, so I think I'm a little more biased towards this. But I think it was such a fucking cool moment. I'm gonna go when they did the Harvey's better chant when it was Harvey versus Strasburg, and the whole stadium started chanting Harvey's better. And Kevin Burkhardt goes over to Gary, Keith, and Ron, and he's like, "Do you guys hear that right now? The whole stadium is chanting Harvey's better." And Ron Darling just starts laughing. He's like, "How did they come up with this? Like, this is so this is so cool." And it wasn't even that big of a crowd. It was maybe like 30,000 people. Like, that stadium wasn't full, and they were loud as could be, and the entire stadium was chanting Harvey's better. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure Marlon Byrd hit like a big home run off fucking Strasburg. So if it was him, shout out Marlon Byrd.
Marlon Byrd, what a throwback, a throwback name.
Thanks for Vic Black, Marlon Byrd.
And Dilson Herrera.
Yeah.
No, I know. That was Jay Bruce. Never mind.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, same shit. So this is my number four pick. I'm going to go. I have a few options here. This one I definitely want to take, so I'm just going to take it right now. It's another David Wright one. You picked the game that you were at. I was at this game. David Wright's first home run back off the DL in 2015 in Philly. That was, like I said, I was at that game. I remember it vividly. The Mets were down. Jacob DeGrom was pitching that game. That was maybe the worst game Jacob DeGrom's ever pitched, too. He gave up 8 runs in like 2 innings and got taken out, but the Mets still won. They set a team record for most home runs by separate players in a game. They had like 8 different players hit a home run. David Wright's first at bat back, 1-1 count, top of the second inning, hit an absolute moonshot.
With thunder.
Yeah. That was, like I said, a sentimental moment because I was at that game. And then, like I said, there's a lot of moments I can go here, but I'm going to honor us in the podcast. Scooter and the Big Man bust the city in half.
Very nice.
Yeah. I got to rep the program. That's the whole crux of our entire podcast is that call.
That is fair. You could tell me if I can't take this because you kind of took it. So let me know if you don't want me to take it. I can say something else. But I have this as a joint thing. Okay. Noah Syndergaard throwing at Utley and Matt Harvey hitting Utley. I have them as a joint. Just anytime we threw a ball at Utley.
I can allow that because mine was specifically just the Terry Collins, not even Syndergaard throwing.
Yeah, so Syndergaard throwing at Utley and then Matt Harvey hitting Utley earlier when he was with Philly. Hitting Chase Utley. Those are the two. Hitting or throwing near Chase Utley's head or back, whatever. You don't want to hit him in the head, but
no, we don't condone that, yeah. Evans, but throwing near him is fine.
We'll put an asterisk on that. Don't hit him in the head.
Pat's
last pick.
I can only imagine what this could be.
It's been a hell of a list so far, Pat. And when the Mets signed Tim Tebow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, he retired, so get over it.
He retired, yeah. So T's and P's to Tim Tebow's baseball career. That was longer than his football career.
Hey, you know what? If you told me that that man would have hit like 270 at AA, I would not have believed you. So the fact that he did that in like one full season, I guess, is kind of impressive.
But I mean, good for Tim Tebow. He did it. Like not many people could say that they played like two sports at like a high enough level. Like, he obviously never made it to the majors. He made the AAA.
It's professional. It's professional baseball.
Good for him. I got nothing against Tebow, but no need to waste the roster spot anymore.
So thanks for your pick.
Yeah, good job. Good job, guys.
What a shitty list.
Yeah, I don't like Pat's list. Look at him smirking over there.
I got one more.
No.
No?
No, right?
How many did you do? You did five?
I did five, yeah. What did you pick? What did you pick so far?
I did Wilmer's home run.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey's better. Alonso's rookie home run. And then I did Piazza and throwing it out. Like, yeah, I did do five. All right. Damn. All right. I had another one.
Are you not
one.
Happy with your with your?
No, I was looking at one that I was going to say the whole time and I didn't say it because I was like, all right, I got one more.
Well, honorable mention. Go for it.
Honorable mention. I you know, maybe it's good that it's not on my list, but I just like that Amed Rosario hit a walk-off home run at Yankee Stadium. I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a moment that will arguably never happen again.
No.
Someone hitting a walk-off home run in someone else's stadium.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. And just the fact of where it was, like, I was like, yeah.
No, that would have been a good pick.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'll throw that in at my fifth one the whole time.
Do you have any other honorable mentions you want to bring up?
I had Cespedes' home run in the playoffs where he bat flipped against the Dodgers. I thought that was kind of cool. But those are the only other two I really had down.
I had David Wright's barehanded catch. Mm. That was more of an iconic one.
I had Andy Chavez's catch too.
I had Chavez's catch too. I had Johan's no hitter. That was just an awesome thing to see.
I have a really, my no hitter experience is very different than a lot of people's. I've actually never shared it on the airwaves, but
proceed.
Oh man. All right. So I had tickets to,
you've told me this, I think.
Yeah. I had tickets to that game that night, and me and my friends, we play like we called it the Willett Baseball Association, where we would just play like pickup baseball games. We'd get like 12 to 15 people to show up and we would play like shorter outfielders and all that stuff. It was only on a 60-foot field. So it was very high scoring. Anyway, I also had a date that night with a new person that I just started seeing. And I told my dad that I wasn't going to go to the Met game with him that he had tickets for, because I was going to go out on this date after I was done playing baseball with my friends that day. He's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, it's okay. Take mom. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take your mother. So I finished playing baseball and I get a text message. It's around like 3-4 o'clock and the person bails on the date. They cancel completely. And my dad has already left for the game with my mother. So I watched Nohan in the basement of my friend's house, hugging one of our listeners, Sean. Sean and I were hugging in the basement, jumping up and down. But the entire time in the ninth inning, in the back of my mind, I just had that thought, like, I kind of want a hit to happen here. Because I was like, I don't want this. I don't want to know that I could have been there. And my dad is like, basically like crying at the stadium. He's sending me videos and pictures of all this stuff taking place. And it's just like the whole time I'm like, oh my God, I could have been there. And yeah.
I'm imagining you in that basement, that the Carlos Beltran foul ball that might not have been a foul ball. Yeah. Being like, no, you're pointing
double.
Pointing. That's fair. Double. That's down the line.
Double. You know, obviously, I'm happy the Mets have a no hitter. My dad is a diehard Mets fan. It was right around like his 50th birthday. I'm happy he was able to see that and experience it and have that moment. But man, I can't believe I had tickets for it and could have been there. And not to have went on the date and missed it, I think I still would have been mad. Like, God, I can't believe I'm here. But But the fact that the date got canceled and then I was just sitting and alone hugging Sean, shout out again, Sean, in a basement.
Would you have...
what a time.
Would you have been watching the game on the date, though?
Probably not. I probably would have just been getting the updates on my phone being like, Nohan through 7, Nohan through 8. And I probably would have just been having like an anxiety attack sitting out wherever we would have been.
I think it's if the scenario was either go on the date or not, but still not be able to make the game, I think you made it out better. The better of the two worst situations.
Yeah.
You just got to watch it.
I mean, that's fair. I much would have rather been up in the Excelsior Club with obviously. Bill. Yeah.
You know, I'm taking that off the table, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll never happen. So, yeah. I mean, if replay existed, it would have been a double. So we're just going to.
My only other honorable mention was Familia striking out to bring the Mets to the World Series in 2015. A lot of 2015 moments.
You want to know another good one, too? I like the day after the Mets clinched lineup after in 2015, when they literally just put out like a lineup of no star players whatsoever, because everyone was probably like hungover from celebrating being like clinching the division.
I think you're confusing that with our 2013 just regular lineup.
Yeah, honestly, that's what it looked like. Okay. All right, end the episode.
Eric Campbell. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, I want to say shout out to everyone who bought a shirt, help support us and Homers for Heroes. We really appreciate you. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, on Twitter at Scoop Big Man Pod, on Instagram and TikTok at Scooter Big Man Pod. We've been doing a countdown to opening day of the Mets who wore that jersey number. Today was 38. You can see a lot of Justin Wilson and Sean Markham clips and much more like that. Yeah, Sean Markham had a 12 strikeout game on Sunday Night Baseball against the Braves. Did you remember that? Because I didn't.
I did, actually.
Really? Yeah. Well, don't blame me for not remembering the one time Sean Markham pitched good with his 1-10 record and 6 ERA. But you know, keep supporting us. Tell if there's any segment or any sort of thing you want to see us do here on Twitter, on Instagram, anything, just DM us, hit us up. We're open to any sort of suggestion. Brian, you got anything else?
No, but Pat does. Pat, end it. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
Meet the Mets, fuck the rest at last, cause you're listening to the best sports podcast. We got Brian with jokes that make you laugh on the floor. He's a nine of best, like Brennan and Mo. PJ's the man, so many hearts to steal, like a squirrel find a nut, call him Jeff McNeil. And then there's Pat, keeping everything rational. Too bad the fuckers are a fan of the Nationals. Stop us, please, we ain't that slow. Push a ball so far like Pete Alonso. So sit back, relax, and if you're a Mets fan, cause you're about to witness Scooter and the Big Man.